Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators, keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Let's bring in, hold on, she's adjusting something. She looks like she's moving around. She's got the glasses on and everything. Let's bring in Trista. We are talking about your owner. I know.
And to his credit, and to the Cowboys' credit, they received the Packers' first-round pick this year. And it was contingent on, I think, like how well the Packers did since they did.
Oh, the Micah Parsons thing.
First-round pick. I mean, they won the trade, it feels like.
Legitimately forgot that happened this year.
Like 2 days before the season.
So much has happened.
They won the trade.
That's fine.
This team didn't want to pay Micah, no way.
I wouldn't have paid him. I wouldn't have.
No.
In that situation, because I probably wouldn't have paid Dak that much. That's where it all started. But in the situation they were in, you couldn't pay Micah Parsons.
I feel like when people get mad at people that play GM for fun, they think that we just don't want to pay people because we're just like, that's not your money. What do you care? But it's operating under a budget, and where the money is a specific bucket regardless of who it is that's deciding, right? Mm-hmm. And when it comes to Trey Young or John Morant or Dak Prescott or, you know, even Michael Parsons, it's like, well, this has to all be mated out to a bunch of different players. And if you pay Micah $60 million, it's crazy. I think it's somewhere $50 million. What is the rest of the defensive line going to look like? Yeah. Are you able? This defense was trash with Micah Parsons, so I don't really know why. And it got actually better when they traded Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
Slightly. Well,
when they got Quinn Williams, it really...
When they got Quinn and Williams, yeah. And they also had Kenny Clark in that trade.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Kenny Clark's not in no slouch, so...
Wasn't he like a three-time Pro Bowler or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Kenny Clark's a good player. I mean, he's not Micah, but Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark, I think I really like that.
Official introduction, that's Trista Crick from the Heat Check podcast, Let Her Shoot podcast.
Too many damn podcasts, really.
The Daily W, like you were out there.
Let Her Shoot, Alley-Oop.
All of it. You out there running the...
I felt bad for my girl on Friday night.
Well, I wasn't going to bring that up.
Thank you.
Well, she documented it. That's the only reason why I brought it up.
No, I know. She's lived her pain. Like, just leave it at that. Now, I thought about texting her, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that.
Did you guys see my story?
Oh, very much so.
That's why I brought it up, because I saw the whole progression.
It was like your birthday, two messages, and then like your favorite football team loses 175 messages.
Yeah.
That's how it was. Fast,
and it's really tough when you don't just lose, because you could have taken the second half of that game off.
I did.
Yeah, that was the move.
You know, the good thing was I just like became sort of numb. In the first half, I was feeling emotions, mm-hmm. sadness, mm-hmm. anger, confusion, just all of the different stages of grief. And then once the second half rolled around, and after I think the first drive, it was like, nope, I'm done. All my emotions go back into the box, mm-hmm. and okay. I can watch this game knowing I have no hope. And I'm glad I'm not in Atlanta right now, which I thought about spending money to go and do with a friend of mine from Oregon. And that was just the greatest decision I've ever made, is just not go.
Mm-hmm. I had that same experience with the 22 NFC Championship game when Brock Purdy got hurt and the Niners had no quarterback. By halftime, I couldn't really get mad anymore. It was just done. And it's a good thing you didn't go to Atlanta, a.k.a. Bloomington, Indiana. That place was overrun by Indiana people.
I didn't know this, but they have the largest living alumni population in the country at over 800,000 Hoosiers.
Wow.
It felt like 800,000 of them were in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
You
can't tell me that they weren't.
Did you see the story that they moved all high school basketball games to Thursday
that
weekend?
That week? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So the whole state could watch the game on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, massive rivalries got moved to Thursday. Like, you guys are playing on Thursday. Nobody's doing anything on Friday but watching Indiana.
Mendoza.
My neighbor's son's going to Indiana. He came home one day. He had the Indiana flag waving outside. I was like, I know we had talked about like Indiana before. He was like, "Oh yeah, we're in. I think we can do this." They're excited. They are excited.
Is that the greatest? So you've seen, and I was talking to somebody about this earlier today. So we saw Mike Vrabel turn around the Pats in 1 year, where they're now the favorite to win the AFC. We saw Liam Cohen turn around the Jags in 12 months. David Canales turn around the Panthers in 2 years. But Kurt Cignetti taking Indiana from one of the worst schools in all of the Big Ten, where they lost in the Pinstripe Bowl, to being a 7.5-point favorite,
the prestigious Pinstripe Bowl,
the U, as a team with 0, 4, or 5 stars, has to be the greatest coaching turnaround in football history.
You're probably right. There's only one that I might argue with, and we're gonna have to we might not do it today, but I'm just saying you have to dig into the minutiae of it all. Is Harbaugh at Stanford. There were, I don't know how real they were, but there were real talks of, I think, going to FCS. They're like, man, we should just get out of this and go to FCS before Harbaugh came. And then
that again now.
Yeah. Well, Andrew Luck's there now.
That's Captain.
They didn't
Andrew
look
Luck.
Good this year. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Neither did
But
Andrew
I mean,
Luck.
that's the only one that I could even think is on the same level. This is insane. Indiana
competed for a national title.
I mean, the year they won in the Orange Bowl, you can make the argument if there was a playoff,
it would have been different.
But still, with Indiana, Indiana might win the national.
And the best
Stanford
we know
was good with John Elway. I ain't never seen nothing good with Indiana.
Didn't pay $35 million for their roster either.
Yeah.
No.
They didn't pay $35.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Mendoza came out of nowhere too. Mm. And that's the thing when I was talking to just other people and content about what the Raiders should do. I don't think I have enough data, enough of a sample size to take Dante Moore or Mendoza and put the future of my franchise on their backs. I would rather trade the pick than take them.
I agree. Too many holes on the roster. Way too many.
Too many.
And you're almost, it feels like you'd be setting the quarterback up for failure.
Yes. When we saw Geno Smith look pretty dang competent for Seattle, with a decent offensive line. And we saw him completely crumble. I think he was sacked 55 times this year. Mm. That's insane. And he's a vet. He's seen every coverage. Mm. His processing speed's pretty fast. He had a good year last year. It's not like he's washed. So a rookie coming into a situation with the 32nd ranked offensive line, and I know there are people who are like, oh, well, they're gonna solve that. They're going to fix that. They got all this money. And it's like, well, if you don't have the right coaching staff, and largely the competent coaches do not want to coach in Vegas because it's a mess. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how talented these players are. Mm-hmm. The line is going to be a mess, no matter if you've got freaking Alex Kappa and like Trent Williams and everybody, like literally the peak of existence of offensive linemen, is still going to be a tough go.
But Dame and TK Oz, both of you guys, can they not draft a quarterback? Like everything we say, I think is logical and I agree with you, but it's like, man, you got the number one pick. You have a Heisman Trophy quarterback right there for you. Maybe it's just optics when I talk about something like that, but can you?
You better do what Scott Perry is doing right now. Scott Perry is doing 1,000 interviews with everybody but dealing with KC, telling, hey, guys, this takes time. Mm. We might not, I don't know. We're working the he is bracing this fan base to watch Zach LaVine the second half of the season. Mm. And if Brady better start or Spytek, whoever there's going to be the face of this, he better start talking. Well, quarterback isn't always the route you go, even when you need a quarterback. We have so many holes on the roster. We got to be able to protect that quarterback. You run out every line you can, but you start now to brace mm-hmm. your fan base for what might be ahead.
And even if you draft one, you better get out and be like, it is sometimes worthwhile to young quarterbacks to sit behind a vet like Geno Smith, who has another year left on his deal, mm-hmm. and really just learn, make sure that they're gelling, make sure we don't break them before he even gets going. Yeah. Like, that'd there's a lot of reason and logic.
That. I wouldn't mind that at all.
That would be tough.
I wouldn't mind. It's a different. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Here's the other thing I'll say about the draft, though. Like, if you don't like a quarterback, like, that's okay. You got to find someone you like. Because, even if you don't find him, like, at number one, you also have to find someone who really likes someone at number one if you want to trade back.
Definitely.
Like, there's.
I think there's a lot of people who are going to get finessed into the Mendoza. And Mendoza might be great. But I think there are people who are excited about him that would be interested in taking him number one. Mm. My guy that I like is David Bailey from Texas Tech. Mm. I don't know if you guys watched that game against Oregon.
I did.
He was in the kitchen the whole game. He was in the fridge. He was helping himself to our beer, to our snacks.
Ooh.
He had David Bailey, 14 and a half that sacks in Miami? The season. Huh? No, Texas Tech.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
Yeah, he goes to Texas Tech. He is
Defensive lineman. Yeah, no, he was going crazy.
Defensive lineman.
No, he was going crazy.
He was going crazy. And they made life hell where Dante Moore was on the run pretty much the whole day. I thought that their defense was actually better than Indiana's defense, even though we looked obviously a lot worse. But he's awesome. And like maybe you trade Max Crosby at that point. Mm. Or maybe him and Max Crosby become a two-headed machine where you can win like the Houston Texans in a game where you're only like – main offensive weapon is scoop and scores.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have plenty of time before the NFL draft, so we can dive into all of that. I was hoping to get to some NBA trade deadline stuff,
yes.
But more importantly, the WNBA CBA situation has kind of hit its next like layer. And we don't appear to be any closer to a resolution. Is this thing shutting down?
I don't know if you guys remember when I said this back like 2 Octobers ago, but I thought there would be a lockout then. Mm. And I think we've talked about it since then. And I still remain pretty steadfast in that these players are very aware of the mathematical games that the league wants to play and poor mouth, and that they are very astute in terms of how you can run a business to be profitable with these players. And Nafisa Collier starting Unrivaled and it becoming profitable pretty much right away in a 3-on-3 format, mm-hmm. and how many sponsors they got and how they did deals with TNT and what all that looks like, and her husband running the league. She's privy to all of that. And NECA, obviously, being a vet for as long as she has, and you can tell that they've been sharing information. They want that revenue share. The not net. I don't know why even the league would try to play with words and say, we will share revenue with you, but it's net revenue. And it's like, but that's like not the definition of revenue. Like, the definition of revenue is that it's a gross number. It's how much cash do you take in, period. That's the end. Then you split that, and then we're paying our expenses after that revenue split. Don't be like, oh, well, after we pay our coaches and this and that and this, then we'll give you 15% of net revenue. It's like, oh, so you're giving us 15% of what you're considering profits. No. We're not doing that. That's like a whole other thing. So I think the players are really at a period of time where they're not dealing with the BS anymore. And the league is going to squirm as much as they possibly can and try to use their PR arm, which is very clearly in full force right now, to make it out like, well, if we give the players what they want, we're going to go broke. That's what they want, is us to operate at a larger loss than we have in the entirety of our 29 years. And that would mean that the deal that they're proposing to the WNBA players, if you do the math, that means that they're proposing a break-even deal. It's $700 million between their deal and what the players want. So they're saying that that's how much they'll lose, $700 million. So it's like, well, why would you offer? I know you greedy asses are not offering a break-even deal to your players. That just not in the history of the league would you do that. And billionaires,
not in the history of any league.
Any league, in any business, no one's doing that. No one's offering that. And you've got billionaires offering to pay $250 million. And I think the Celtics owner, Pags, wanted to buy the Connecticut Sun for $300 million. And I don't think a guy does that where it's like, you're going to pay $300 million, but indefinitely, at least for the next 5 years, you're breaking even. No way.
It's like the league said, okay, we're going to pay you more money. We're just not going to give you money. That's what they basically said. It's about net profit and all this other stuff. I think the players right now, if the owners and the league want to cry, we can't give you this because we'll go broke or whatever. All right, we'll just fold the league then. Just fold the league. I would call their bluff. I'd be like, shut the league down. Don't have it no more. And we'll go on with Unrivaled. You can make the argument that with Unrivaled success, like you mentioned, they learned the model. They learned how to create a league, and they could damn near start their own league. And if you don't want to give us a fair deal, and you're crying that you'll go broke if you get, then go broke one way or the other by either giving us the money or the league not happening no more. That's how I would approach that if I was that players union.
1,000%. And I said this the other day, I thought more people would be like, oh, Tristan, how could you say that? But honestly, I don't even care if the WNBA folds. If that's what it is going to be for these ladies to get what is a fair economic deal for what other. And we know there's lots of trolls and stuff that are like, you know, they don't understand. Nobody cares about watching women's basketball and yada, yada, yada. They should just be happy that they're making anything. It's like, no, but see, the problem is that there's other leagues that you see what the value is for these players. Paige Beckers is making $350,000 playing in a 3-on-3 league that operates in the winter. You had players going over to Russia back in the 90s and in the early 2000s that were making
millions
of dollars. Mm-hmm. And they're getting suitcases full of cash and rollies and diamonds. That's a shoot. Right? And so if it was true that these players didn't have any economic value, then there would be no place that they could achieve that economic value. But there are. There are plenty of other options. So it's really just a matter of does the NBA want to compete with these other places, or do they want to continue to go the route that they're going? Because I bet you without all of the quote-unquote subsidization, because that's what everybody says, is the NBA has been subsidizing the W. The NBA has not subsidized the W since 2002. And so that argument is false. And you've got NBA owners that own a piece of the W. And of course, you're able to, as you know, people who own small businesses know, like there's a lot of funny money accounting that goes in to try to avoid paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And how you do that is you try to look like you don't make any money. And so, like, that's the goal, right? Is like to have as much, but to look like you have none. And so the NBA is able to play a lot of funny accounting by moving assets around and expenses around that makes them look poor. And that's actually a value to them in a very profitable league such as the NBA is. So I'm fascinated to see how this all shakes out. But it appears that Breanna Stewart and Nafisa and NECA, they're not budging.
Let me ask both of you guys this question because you'd have knowledge of it. Has the NBA stepped in yet? From my knowledge, it feels like this has been a WNBA thing.
No, nope, they've WNBA. Been stepped in.
So the NBA, in your opinion, or to your knowledge, is running the hard line stance of this is what... That's surprising, too. Not because they're... I mean, these are big billionaires. This is what they do. But they should understand what's at stake. We didn't have... with just expansion alone, you didn't have a billion plus dollars invested into this league. Why would you risk it all?
They're saying that number, that money is not revenue either. They're like, hey, that doesn't count towards the revenue, towards the league. That's just us paying ourselves back as owners, where like, you know, James Dolan sold the net or the Liberty to Joe Tsai for $1. You know, that's the number that I heard from multiple people. The number that's been floated around is more than that. But the number that I actually heard was $1. Is that Dolan wanted so badly to get out of that. And he was having him play out in the middle of like Westchester or whatever. Mm-hmm. And nobody would go. And so he thought, you know, misogynistically that nobody cared about women. And it was really just nobody cares about this team when you make it so difficult. So like, there's a lot of profit that's occurred since 2019. But yeah, the NBA is pretty much running this labor negotiation. They say it's the WNBA, but really it's the NBA all the while.
Man, wouldn't it be a situation where if I was a Cleveland Rockers owner or Detroit or whatever, all this other, like I could, if this goes under, I could sue.
Yes.
Like you, I invested my money with you telling me and selling me a dream that this was going to happen, and then you didn't manage your stuff correctly, and the league goes under. Like, not only do I want my money back, I want pain and suffering, all this other stuff. I want it all back. And that's because you talk about the NBA, talking about, oh, we had to recoup for the years that we were subsidizing the league or whatever. Nah, that money is not set in stone. Like, I can go get that money back, and I'll go get my lawyers to go get it back. I'm just baffled on how they're approaching this situation.
I'll never forget John Wisnett. He was the Monarchs coach when they won the championship, was coaching for the Knicks, and things weren't going well. And there were rumblings that John could be on the way out. Dolan flew to Sacramento, sat in the front row at Arco Arena with his iPad like this. Sorry for the visual aspect of it. He just had his iPad pulled up, and you could see him just playing on his iPad the entire basketball game. Did not lift his head up, and there were people watching, did not lift his head up to watch that basketball game one time. Pulled John into a meeting room at the back of the old Arco Arena, talked for like 30 minutes, and then flew out. Didn't fire him that day. Fired him later, but didn't fire him that day. And I remember thinking, God, what a, I don't know what word I can use. What a, what an ass. What an absolute ass. I think there are a lot of, I think the old Rock, Rocket slash Mystics owner, Rocket slash Comments owner was the same way. It was like Adam, David, but more David than Adam, because David Stern was the commissioner when this all started. A lot of those people felt like they were forced into owning WNBA teams. And that's when the Rockets, in the ultimate, you know, measuring contest, the Rockets got pissed because David wasn't giving them what they wanted with the Yao Ming overseas stuff. And they're like, yo, that's our player. That's our revenue. And David's like, no, we're building this market for the whole league. And he said, okay, like, cool. I'm going to pull the plug on your little precious WNBA team. Gave David the finger and pulled the comments. The comments thing came out of nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. Just literally pulled the plug out.
Wow.
And if you look at what they're doing to try to get the comments back right now, which I agree that the comments are a storied franchise. They deserve to be a WNBA team. Like, I was a Cynthia Cooper fan. Like, that's how I got into the W. But doing it by forcing the Mohegan Tribe to rip away a very profitable, very franchise with a very loyal fan base and take them and really everyone who's around the team and move them from the Northeast, which, to be honest, Connecticut's a big women's basketball area. Like UConn and the Connecticut Sun, that's just as deep-rooted as Houston is, maybe more. And there's not a lot to do in Connecticut but to watch some women's hoops and exhibition games for other sports that are coming around the way. And they're forcing the Connecticut Sun and the Mohegan Tribe to sell for less than what would have happened if they would have sold it to the minority shareholder, Steve Pagliuca from the Boston Celtics, to move it to play in Boston for the TD Garden. And so it just feels like there's a lot of people manipulating what they want to happen as like a side consequence of other agendas that they have. And those people are not doing it for the best interest of the W. They're doing it for whatever it is that makes them money or feels like serves their best interest.
And maybe for the first time in their existence, the players are recognizing that. Like, yeah, we ain't doing this. Y'all have done this for going on 30 years now. We're not doing this. Let's shift our attention from the WNBA to the NBA. We saw Trae Young get traded. He's headed to the Washington Wizards. And how about that? It's exactly where he wanted to go. Now there's rumblings about Ja Morant and him being out. It seems that Miami is leading the charge in this. And lo and behold, if you search the internet enough, you'll find apparently Miami is a destination that Ja Morant really likes. It's crazy how this works. What do you think about all of this movement in the league with some pretty big players? Also, and we can dive more into this later, I thought the Anthony Davis market would die given the hand injury. That does not appear to be the case whatsoever. It seems that the phones are still pretty hot for AD.
Yeah, I'm surprised about that, too. You guys don't want Ja?
It depends on what you're giving up, but I'm more for it than Damian is.
I don't. Not a fan.
I don't want to give up any picks. I just don't want to give up any players, whatever, but I don't want to give up any picks.
I do want to trade Devin Carter more than I don't want Ja Morant, though, so if we can get that done.
I mean, the writing's been on the wall since.
Yeah, you put it there. You put it there. I was like, yeah, all right, wall, I'll ride with TK.
That wall looks like a subway in New York City in the 80s. Just graffiti everywhere.
I might have deaded them, but like a lot of people have come and tagged on that wall ever since.
Yeah, for sure.
Think what I said this to my folks in Memphis today, but I was just thinking about these players. And it feels like, and I want to know what you guys have to say about this analogy, is that, you know, back in, you know, 2016, 17, these guys were coming up as, I mean, LaMelo is 2020, but coming up as the faces of the league. right? Mm-hmm. LaMelo had been thought about since he was in middle school or high school when he was at Chino Hills. And like he goes to Lithuania or whatever, but like we all knew he was going to be a top pick, and he had been like sort of spectacular and hyped for a long time. Ja came out of nowhere, but he became a guy that was considered to be the new face of the league. Trae Young and Ice Trae and what he did rolling the dice at MSG and beating the Philadelphia 76ers, going to Eastern Conference Finals, and how he did it. And these guys were like, to me, tech stocks in the late 90s, where it's like any tech stock, and they were premium ones, but any tech stock was gonna like flourish. You were up. You had one, you were up. But then I think the new CBA came in, and it wasn't just paying luxury tax. You're not just paying $4 for every dollar over the cap once you get to a certain level. Oh, no, we're going to like take draft picks away from you. You can't trade. You have to go exactly dollar for dollar. You can't bring in more money than you give out in these trades. So it became so restrictive that it caused these owners and GMs to evaluate, what are we paying these guys for again? Is this really helping me like further my goal of winning a championship? And so these guards that were flashy, and I would say a lot of bubblegum buckets here, like a lot of empty calories here, just you can't pay them $50, $60 million. And some of them are on the books for 40, 45, coming up on an extension. And if Drew Holiday has to get traded for salary cap reasons, then certainly a guy like Ja Morant, who is far worse, but also a malcontent and throwing hissy fits and having issues with guns and his dad fighting people. Like, the issues of Ja go far beyond his value on the court. And that's probably one of the reasons that you, Damian, don't want him in Sacramento. But I'll let you speak to that. But so I think that like the value has cratered for guys that's like it. This.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
I think that, well, speaking about him specifically, like I, you know, with the off the court stuff and the there's a, to me, there's a silliness that goes along with Ja Morant that you just have to deal with. Like he's not changing. It is crystal clear. He's not changing. All right. If you go with that, fine. It's fine. My bigger issue is, like, the amount of games that he's played is declining. The production level of him being one of those guys, like one of those potential, this is his league guys. I don't know if we're ever going to get to that point with him again. Maybe he's one of the Jerry Reynolds change of scenery guys where this is really going to help him, but I'm just not really sure. And with his, I don't know, with what appears to be his state of mind, I'm just not a fan. I don't like it.
And the thing that I wonder is there a worse fit than Miami for Ja? Because they've got a lot of rules, and you just said it. You're getting, like, Ja is a leopard who is not changing his spots, and Pat Riley is not playing any games. You can't come on over there and think you can be a franchise marquee player that they are going to have to extend, by the way. I mean, they have 3 more years, I think, left on his deal. Is that right? I'm pretty sure. And so, is it 2 plus 1?
It's 2. It's 2 after this year.
Yeah. So this one plus 2 more.
Yep. Yep.
And so, you just can't have the type of antics and the type of, hey, I don't want to play this way. And listen, on top of that, the way that Spo is running this offense is eerily similar to the offense that Ja Morant hates. That's currently being ran in Memphis right now. No more pick and rolls, a lot of motion, fast playing offense, not as many of the hockey substitutions where it's like you can't get into rhythm, but it's certainly not the type of offense that Ja would normally want to play. So I don't understand the real like interest in one another, because it feels like it's a square peg in a round hole. Pause.
I think the interest for Miami might be the same that I have here in Sacramento, although they're in two different places in their basketball journey, is, you know, you're taking a chance. You're taking a chance on potential, on what could be, and that's where the price really plays a factor. I'm willing to take a chance if I don't have to spend that much on Ja Morant. And in Sacramento's case, that's any type of future draft capital when it comes to their own picks. I'd be really cautious with, like, the Minnesota pick that they have or whatever, and contracts that match up with guys that you don't want anyway. Like, if they're like, hey, take Sabonis because the salaries work, or LaVine because the salaries work, because we can get off of that. Cool, I don't want those guys anyway. And if Ja gets here and he completely does a 180 on who he is, you've got Chris Webber from the late 90s. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't, you're going to be bad anyway for the next 2 years. Like, mm-hmm. you'll just be bad with the Ja Morant who's not playing. And by the time you're ready to move on, you're going to be, as a franchise, you'll be ready to move on from his contract. So I think it's worth the risk. I see all the pitfalls and red flags, but depending on the price, I think it's worth the risk.
I do think the best comp is – and now, like, the quality of play of his ceiling is much higher on this other player. Is, remember when Dallas traded for Kyrie? And we were like, well, not we were like, none of us were like, but other people were like, I don't know, man. Like, Kyrie feels like he's a malcontent. Like, is he even going to be playing? Like, seems like he's ready to retire everywhere he goes. He's toxic. He gets to Dallas and it's like, oh no, it's like peaches and cream. Like, him and Luka really get along. They go to the finals. And so if you're a GM that thinks that maybe Memphis is just not a good place for Ja, maybe it never was a good place for Ja, maybe he would do better with a different type of a coach, different type of an offense and a change of scenery, then, like, that's the kind of bounce back that you would hope for, is that level of disparity between, clearly Ja's quit on the Grizzlies. He's doing everything in his power to be like, I'm out of here. If he gives us 100% again, what are we getting from Ja? And that's, I think, probably what some teams might wonder and, like, take a chance on.
I'm willing to take it. Once again, the price matters most to me.
Definitely.
If the price is right.
It's a big if. Like maybe not a big if, maybe what that 100% is now is the if. Like, is it injuries? Is it Memphis? Is it just kind of being done with that situation that has slowed his play? Or is it just his play is slow? Like, he's an explosive player, and there aren't a lot of guys who hold their explosiveness for a long time.
No.
Like, Russ is unique. Russ is still pretty explosive, but he's still not what he was, you know, 5 years ago. And obviously Ja's not Russell Westbrook's age. It's not what I'm trying to insinuate. The thing is, when your one of your top characteristics is your explosiveness, that's going to be one of the first things that goes. And if your game can adjust, great. If it can't, you have a problem.
Where do you guys think AD goes?
If you had asked 2 weeks ago, I would have thought Toronto. It felt like Toronto was really like involved, and they were trying to. Now I'm struggling making Toronto deals work because Casey and I were looking at those contracts the other day, and it's like you're going to have to really like these guys to take them back because they're not quick salary dumps. Mm-hmm. But Toronto was the one that I was like, they seem to, they're trying to make a move right now. Now I guess I'm just back to Atlanta.
And then it's like, why is AD tweeting that these things are lies? Isn't he out for the rest of the year and it's a multi-month situation?
I don't think he's technically out for the year. I don't think he's technically out for the year.
Technically. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's probably
there's no point in him playing basketball again, but
they said it was a multi-month recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting here in January, multiple month recovery process, put you March 13th, 2 weeks before the playoffs start or right around, you know, when the end of the season is. It's pretty much the end of the season.
Well, yes, but if he still plays for Dallas and the West stinks the way that it does, Kyrie Irving is allegedly, reports were, I think even today, Kyrie, they want Kyrie back. They do want him to play this year, and we might see him after the All-Star break.
Didn't I see Kyrie on a stream being like, hey, don't count on me coming back?
I didn't see that.
I'll find it for y'all. I remember him being like, listen, this is a long recovery process. Do not hold your breath on your boy coming back this year.
Even then, if they stayed in Dallas, Dallas is not the case study for that. Like, they're not going to be close to anything.
No.
But
maybe
if
Boston,
he went somewhere. Yeah, if he goes to a team that's guaranteed to be in the postseason.
You're talking about Anthony Davis,
yeah,
not Kyrie.
Yeah. Yes. And if they trade for him right now and they get him the last week of March and going into that playoff stretch, that might be beneficial.
Maybe what AD meant was don't believe these reports on these apps about multi-month recovery processes. Maybe he meant he'll be back in 3 weeks.
That's what I'm saying he's lying about. We know what his body is. I saw a meme yesterday that had him in his fake AI body in a box of packing peanuts.
Oh, come on, man.
You saw it too, Kevin.
Yeah, I saw that one. My cousin sees this and he always sends it to me. They had the other one where they were like, oh, the new AD signature shoe, and it was a walking boot.
Oh my god, man. That's not okay.
I hope AD gets.
Who would you rather have on your basketball team right now, Anthony Davis or Ja Morant?
Just right now, like, I don't have to pay him.
Okay. Fine. You don't have to pay him right now.
AD. I at least know AD's not going to pull a gun on anybody.
I don't think he is either. AD's a good dude. AD's a good dude. Not to say that John isn't a good dude, but AD's a good
dude. He's not that dude. We'll just say AD's not that dude. Yeah. I don't know. I can't speak to the exact kind of dude. I just don't think he's that dude. And so there's a lot less PR headache for me. I said this.
That's a shame that's the barometer. Well, Anthony Davis isn't going to pull a gun on anyone, so I'll take him. That's so
versus
sad.
Versus the guy who
no, I hear you. I'm saying, I just said it's sad. That's all I'm saying. It's sad. I didn't say it was wrong. I said it was sad.
That's crazy.
Like, remember Jaw's best friend pulled a gun on the Indiana Pacers?
Was that the laser?
The laser yeah.
He had
the red light.
Yeah.
Just had a scope on it. And they were crazy. Like, oh, it was a, I have a Yorkie, and I just have a laser for the Yorkie. That's just what I was doing. I just pretended it was a gun, even though.
That was ridiculous.
Just insane stuff. And, like, remember T got
you do go to jail for stuff like that. Like, that's not yes. a.
The Pacers then proceeded to take it so seriously that they picked up James Johnson to make sure that they had some reinforcements in case those type of things ever happened again.
The Lakers need to pick up James Johnson. I'll ask you guys this, though. Yeah. How long does that stay with Ja, though? Because, like, if that happened, what if that was the breaking point, the suspension was the breaking point, and he's like, man, I got to get these dudes out of my life or whatever.
It's not. Like, he still does it. He did the gun thing this year.
Yeah, but he don't have guns, though.
It doesn't matter. Like, he's not shedding that label. If you're out hitting threes doing like this, when that's what you're associated with, you have not changed. You haven't changed. Your circle hasn't changed. None of that.
The grenade was crazy. The grenade caught on, too. They was doing the grenade.
Here's the tough part about that. You're not good enough to do that anymore. Like,
no.
That's the truth. Like, if you was Ja, that Ja, hey, if you deal with it or not, but he's talent. Fam, you're not good enough to do that. Like, you play every other 3 weeks at this point.
What's crazy is, truthfully, out of all of those guys that they had on the Grizzlies all at once, the most impactful player on winning is Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks. I like Dylan Brooks.
It goes to Houston, they start winning. Goes to Trash Vomit Phoenix, they start winning. Vomit. Yep.
I'm a Dylan Brooks fan.
Dylan Brooks was discarded, and Dylan Brooks may be the key, like a key cog. That's what I mean by, like, players and value. Right now, I think if you're going to give up picks or you're going to try to, like, find a player that's actually worthwhile trading for, they're more role players and glue guys than stars, because those are the guys that I think are more impactful based on the price for what their impact is, right? And, like, to me, I was thinking this the other day, I think Denny, if you were to put everybody in the league in terms of, like, contract value and production, outside of Jokic, Shea, it might be just those two. Denny might be the most valuable player on the marketplace to trade for. The last year of his deal is $11 million, and he's averaging 27-7-7 and is like second in the league in free throws attempted per game. And his efficiency is bananas. And if you put him on a team full of defenders, he's a plus defender.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.